Hello, and welcome to William Henry Harrison High School in Tippecanoe County. My name is Lex Zorn, and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Harrison Raiders in week two of the Indiana high school football season. Well, last week, your Quakers opened up the 2022 season with a disappointing 30-28 loss to the Greenfield Central Cougars. The crowd was all fired up on opening day at Plainfield with about 2,500 crazed Quaker fans, and the game started well for Plainfield. Greenfield Central took the ball first, and on their first possession went three and out. And then on Plainfield's first possession, Hunter Newell went 26 yards to Grant Irwin for a touchdown, and Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making the score 7-0. However, very surprisingly, the heavily rushing-dominated Cougars struck back with two touchdown passes of more than 50 yards each in the second quarter. The first one was, it started as a screen pass from Dallas Freeman to Owen Anderson. However, a missed tackle resulted in a 59-yard touchdown, and the extra point failed, so Plainfield did retain the lead 7-6. Later in the quarter, however, Freeman struck 53 yards to Kurt Connect, and this time the two-point conversion was no good, and Greenfield Central led 12-7. Plainfield appeared to take control of the game early in the third quarter with two touchdowns 31 seconds apart on rushes by converted wide receiver Noah Hessen. The first was for 45 yards, and then after a brilliantly executed surprise onside kick that Plainfield recovered, Hessen struck again, this time on a 10-yard rush. The first touchdown resulted in a two-point conversion, the second in a one-point conversion, and Plainfield had a seemingly comfortable 22-12 lead, a two-possession lead over a team that usually doesn't pass a lot. However, Greenfield Central seemed completely unfazed and struck back with two rushing touchdowns of their own later in the quarter, first by both by Alex Vailers, the first for 17 yards, the second for 57 yards. Both two-point conversion attempts failed, so Greenfield Central led 24-22. Hessing struck back with one more touchdown in the fourth quarter, and the two-point conversion failed, giving Plainfield a 28-24 lead. But Owen Anderson scored a rushing touchdown for the Cougars to put them up 30-24 after the conversion failed. And then Plainfield's last drive ended when Hunter Newell threw his third interception and Greenfield Central ran out the rest of the clock. Tonight, Plainfield tries to get their first win of the season and get the season on track against the newcomer to the schedule, the Harrison Raiders, who've been one of the top turnaround stories in Indiana high school football for the last decade. After three consecutive 0-10 seasons from 2011 to 2013 and a 38-game losing streak overall, the Raiders have responded by having winning records 7 of the last 8 years, including sectional championships of 2018 and 2019. However, their season is off to a disappointing start as well. After opening number 9 in the AP poll in Class 5A, Harrison had a disappointing 27-14 loss against cross-county rival West Lafayette last week in a game played at Lucas Oil Stadium. So both Harrison and Plainfield tonight trying to avoid that dreaded 0-2 start, and each also trying to get a psychological edge over the other because these two teams are now sectional rivals starting this season, so they could be seeing each other in just 9 or 10 weeks. So look at statistics so far this season. Through one game, junior starting quarterback Hunter Newell, coming off a disappointing first game in his first year as the undisputed starter, he completed only 9 of 25 passes for 107 yards, 1 touchdown, and 3 interceptions. His leading receiver so far has been senior Grant Irwin, who last week had four receptions for 48 yards and a touchdown. Then Isaiah Miller had 3 receptions for 43 yards. Troy Larrison had 1 for 11, and Noah Hessen had 1 for 5. On the ground, the Quakers fared much better last week with Noah Hessen, a senior converted wide receiver, rushing 21 times for 126 yards and 3 touchdowns. A senior track and field star, Troy Larrison, making his varsity football debut with 8 rushes for 73 yards. In addition, Antonio Williams rushed 2 times for 9 yards, and Hunter Newell 5 for minus 4. And at that, we'll pause for the national anthem. Well, thank you to the Harrison Marching Raiders for that lovely rendition of the national anthem. And now let's take a look at Harrison's statistics for one game this season. Their starting quarterback is Ben Henderson. He's completed 17 of 27 passes for 222 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. And so his leading receiver is McDonald, who has six receptions for 112 yards. Walters has six for 64 and a touchdown. Kanoi has four for 41, and Gothrop has one for five. On the ground, Pop leads the way with 11 for 55. Henderson, the quarterback, 15 for 48 and the touchdown. And Kanoi, 13 for 44. Head coach for Plainfield is Brian Woodard, who's 92-80 in his 17th season with the Quakers. Head coach for Harrison is Terry Peebles. Head coach for Harrison is Terry Peebles, who's 52-34 in his 9th season with the Raiders. Well, at this time, we'll take a short pause for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield Harrison coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gunnell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Curly Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, My It Indy at myitindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, and Karen Alexander Photography. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Tippecanoe County, we're just a few minutes away from the kickoff. Now, for those of you who don't know, since Harrison is new to the schedule, they're located, as I said, in Tippecanoe County, just outside of West Lafayette. And they've been very mixed in football over the years. Their crowning achievement was back in 1992 when they won the Class 4A state championship, back when they had a five-class system. Then they had several years of mediocrity, and then they had a very down stretch where they actually lost 38 consecutive games from 2010 to 2014, including three consecutive 0-10 seasons from 2011 to 2013. In fact, the last time and the only previous time I've ever been here at Harrison was back in 2013 when I was commentating for Zionsville. They were an audio sports online school at the time. They had a game here back in week six, which they won 35-14. And at that time, entering that game, Harrison was on a 31-game losing streak, and clearly it was affecting the support here. I think they had under 1,000 fans tonight. It looks like they have about 2,000 tonight, as well as about 70, 75 Plainfield fans who've made the trip of about an hour and 20 minutes from the West Indianapolis suburbs. And Coach Brian Woodard on his weekly show here on Audio Sports Online did express reservation about the distance of this trip. But, you know, one of the facts of life when you're an athletic director and scheduling football is sometimes, you know, when an opponent cancels on you, as Tri-West did after we played them in week two for the last 5 years, you got to, you know, sometimes make a decision very quickly or you risk not having a game for a week. So Harrison was probably the best option we had open. And it is a team that's been very competitive. You know, part of their misery was that they, as well as fellow Tippecanoe County schools, Lafayette Jeff and Lafayette McCutcheon, were overmatched in the Hoosier Crossroads Conference. And, you know, the Hoosier Crossroads Conference, for those of you who don't know, is comprised primarily of teams right around 465 in the Indianapolis area, including regular top 10 teams such as Hamilton Southeastern, Avon, Zionsville, Westfield, Brownsburg. It's the second best conference in the state behind the Metropolitan Interscholastic Conference, the school that features Carmel, Center Grove, Warren Central, and Ben Davis. So it's really tough to, the Hoosier Crossroads Conference was very tough for the Tippecanoe County schools to be competitive in. And not only that, but it was very hard, you know, because each of those teams were having to make 3, 4, sometimes 5 trips to the metro Indianapolis area, you know, every year. And that made it very hard for fans to attend road games. So anyway, the 3 teams all left the conference at the end of the 2013 season. By the way, that season, not counting their games against each other, they were 1-20 in regular season games. So clearly they were not being competitive, and they moved to the much weaker North Central Conference, so they've done much better since then. Although, you know, they've, you know, improved, in addition to just playing weaker competition. I mean, like I said, they won 2 sectionals now, in 2018 and 2019, with this, since they left the HCC. And, you know, for me, obviously, you know, I'm a Quakers fan, but I don't ever like to see anybody do badly, and I am glad to see that Harrison has improved a lot and that the fans are coming out to support the team a lot more again. And now, amid thunderstruck by AC/DC, we've got the team getting ready to make a grand entrance in, from the in big inflatable helmet in one of the end zones. And, you know, my belief is that you should always get on and support your kids through thick and thin. But certainly I understand why it was hard for the Harrison fans to be enthusiastic, you know, through that 38-game losing streak. And I'm sure it was tough on the kids. So Harrison, obviously, you know, not getting too down by that loss to their cross-cutting rival West Lafayette last week. Keep in mind, West Lafayette, though they are, you know, 2 classes lower than Harrison, 5A to 3A, West Lafayette is a 2-time state champion who opened the season ranked number 2 in their class this year. Now we got 3:48 here on the pregame clock. And I just want to also say a few words on a little bit of a serious note before we start the game here. You know, I've been watching sports for 44 years now. I'm 51. I started at age 7. And I know that, you know, for a long time, sports were a great safe haven. You know, they were an escape from the problems of the world. A lot of people have tried to change that in the last 5 or 6 years. It's been very divisive to fans and made some fans feel like they're not welcome. But I want you to know that whatever your views are, you know, politically and otherwise, it is my honor and my pleasure to have you here. You are welcome. You know, you are always welcome in Quaker Nation. And, you know, we have 165 hours a week that we can argue about politics. And believe me, that's far more than we need. So from 7 to 10 on Friday nights, we're not Democrats. We're not Republicans. We're simply Quakers. That's our time to come together and support these kids. So now let's play some football. And we've got the teams warming up here on the sidelines, taking some last-minute instructions from their coaches. You know, very important. Both of these teams undoubtedly are feeling a sense of urgency tonight. And I think if they both won a week ago, probably it wouldn't be quite as urgent. But the difference between 1-1 and 0-2 is vast from a morale standpoint. And especially with this being Coach Woodard's farewell season, this is 17th at Plainfield. Certainly they want to go out on a good note. I mean, they certainly want to get some momentum going. I know they want to give Coach Woodard a good send-off that he deserves, especially with that elusive sectional championship and hopefully more. But, you know, you don't want to start playing catch-up from a bad start, you know. And especially because next week we have a very likely loss against Mooresville, who has Nick Patterson, possibly the best quarterback in the state. Very possibly the best quarterback I've ever commentated in my 11 seasons. And in fact, 2 years ago was actually two days ago was actually the 10th anniversary of my first ever game as a commentator. And, you know, so thankful that Rob Kendall has kept me around. You know, I wasn't sure, you know, those first few years that I was worthy of it, but I've, you know, hung on there and he's given me a lot of chances and I'm forever grateful to him for that and hopefully many more games to come for me as a commentator. You know, I'm 51 now. Ben Scully went until he was 88. Hopefully I'll make it at least that long. And, So anyway, I know for a long time, you know, I said that since he went to 88, I want to make it to 89. But then it occurred to me, if I get to 89, I'm not going to want to stop that close to 90. So I'll probably try to make it to at least 90. So hopefully the good Lord will allow me to, you know, see and think and talk that long. We'll see. So anyway, 22 seconds now, and now Plainfield now taking the field, and they will be kicking off tonight. Cameron Grimes is their kicker. He was 2 for 2 in extra points last week, no field goal attempts. Last week, Greenfield Central took the ball first and went 3 and out. Hopefully, Plainfield will do at least that well tonight with the defense, if not a turnover. So anyway, deep kick, and it is out of bounds. So, it looked to me like Plainfield was in kicking formation, so now Plainfield's going to get the first start. Well, that's good. Let's get a score out of it. So after the first kick goes out of bounds around the 10-yard line, Plainfield will be taking over. The referee's setting the ball now. It looks like he's going to set it at the 35. Very rare that I've never commentated a kickoff that went out of bounds. So tribute to how good, you know, fundamentals have gotten here in Indiana high school football. So now Hunter Newell, he's a junior, trying to shake off last week's bad game where he went 9 for 25, one touchdown versus 3 interceptions. He lines up now with Noah Hessung in the backfield, 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Grant Irwin is one of the receivers. So now, handoff to Hessing, and he breaks through the line, gets up for about 3 or 4. So that'll bring him about 2nd and 6 for the Quakers. So Plainfield, hopefully they'll just be very methodical and just forget about, you know, how long it takes to just get the score. Just get the score and get the momentum and keep it this time. So now we've got 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, Hessling. Now Hessling gets it, and he's up for about 5 this time. He's going to be very close to the first down. Depends on the spot. I think he's going to get 5 for it and make it 3rd and 1. So they give him credit for the first. So Noah Hessling and 2 for 10 now. He's carried on both Quaker plays. They took it at the 35 after the kickoff went out of bounds. Now my son and I are in our own room here in the Harrison press box. Hopefully that will make a difference. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Hessling, and now he's got some room over on the right side, and he's up to about the 50. So Hessling, the go-to guy last week, 21 for 129 and 3 touchdowns. He's 3 for 14 to stop this one, and it is now 2nd and 6. So they mark it just short of the 50 at the 49. 10:25 to go and counting here at Harrison near West Lafayette. Now 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Hessling gets it, and he's up for about 3 or 4. So it's going to be 3rd and short. But as long as, you know, Hessling keeps averaging at least 3.4 a carry, you know, they give him credit for 4 again, so he's 4 for 18 now. But as long, you know, as he can get those 2.4, the 3.4 yards a carry, keep the clock and the chains moving, you know. And now Troy Larrison, a senior who also had a very promising game last week in his varsity football debut, coming in for Hessling now. Hessling getting a little break here. So now Irwin and one other receiver to the right. And now hand off to Larison. He's got the first down, and no, I think they stopped him a yard short. Let's see. That would bring up a fourth. That would bring up fourth and one. So Larison, Troy Larison, track and field star, played JV football 2 years ago. And the coach, Woodard, plucked him to be on the football team last week. Had a very promising debut last week, 8 for 73 on the ground, and 1 of 11 through the air, so 84 all-purpose yards. Very good for a guy, you know, making his varsity debut. So Plainfield going for it now. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Larison gets it, and he's tripped up. He might have just gotten to it. It's going to be very close. He claims he got it. I think he got it by the skin of his teeth. They said no, however. Controversial spot here. A couple of officials are deliberating, so maybe they are going to do a measurement, but it looked to me like he did get it. If he missed it, it was by probably more than 6 inches or so. Boy, so apparently they're going to rule he didn't get it. Wow. So Hessling went 4 for 18 on that drive, but Larison 2 for 1. So now Ben Henderson with two receivers to each side. The one running back, Henderson, had a pretty good game last week. And now a handoff, and he's got a hole past the 50 up to about the 49 there. That was Pop there. And he gets about 8, a little, they give him credit for 7. Pop was the leading rusher last week in that loss to West Lafayette over at Lucas Oil Stadium. So now two running backs now, two receivers to the right, one to the left. Screen pass is complete. The 14 is up to the – he's got the first down and more up to about the 36. That will be a pickup of about 11. That was Walters there on the pickup of about 11 yards. So first and 10 for Harrison at the Plainfield 36. Three receivers to the left now, one to the right. Got to get a stop here. Henderson threw 222 yards last week on the grand stage of Lucas Oil Stadium. So now, back to pass. He's a screen pass, and it's caught inside the 25. He's got a first down inside the 20 to about the 19. That was McDonald there who gave him credit for 17. And so now it's first and 10 at the 19. So both passes now by Henderson have been completed for a first down. He's 2 for 2, 28 yards. One to Walters, the other to McDonald. 7 minutes to go and counting now here in the first quarter. Three receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Henderson and shotgun hands it off this time, and he's got a hole. Gets up about 6 there. That was Pop. He gets about 6 yards there. I'll give him credit for 8. It got a little bit better of a spot than I thought. Both of Pop's rushes now have gone for 8 yards apiece. No, it's 6. I'm sorry. So 2nd and 4 for the Raiders at the 13. It's a movement at the line, and we got a flag here. So the clock stops at 6:19. Very concerning start to Plainfield. They got the ball first. Kickoff went out of bounds. Noah Hessen rushed 4 times for 18 yards. But then Troy Larison was stopped for just 1 yard on 2 rushes, resulting in a turnover on downs. Now Harrison has moved the ball pretty well at will, and that's going to be against the Quakers. So it's 1st and goal now for the Raiders at the 8. So 2 receivers each side now. Henderson alone in the backfield. Now hands off on a reverse, and he slips up at about the 3 or the 4. That was Kanoy. They're going to give him credit for about 4 there. 3. So first, second and goal now at the 3. We need to stop here, boys. 5:41 to go in county here in the first quarter. Coming at you live from William Henry Harrison High School, the first year of this series. We'll see how long it lasts. I know it is a little bit of a long drive, but two very evenly matched 5-8 teams, but now two receivers deep side. And now handoff, and it looks like we stopped him for maybe a yard, so it'll be third and short. So third and goal at about the 2. So that was Kanoi there. They give him credit for 1. He's 2 for 6 now, so it'll be third and goal at the 2. Boy, if you got a super big time goal line stand, now's the time to get it, boys. Let's stop them dead in their tracks here. 4:52 to go here in the first quarter at Harrison in Tippecanoe County. 2 receivers to the left now, 1 running back. And now I hand off on the reverse, and he's into the end zone for a touchdown. So that was number 6, and I apologize that I do not have Harrison's roster at the moment for reasons I will explain when I have enough time. But number 6 got the 2-yard touchdown rush there, and now the extra point, it is up and it is good. So it's 4:34 to go in the first quarter. Your Playfield Quakers followed behind 7-0 to the Harrison Raiders. So anyway, the thing is, Harrison they did not print rosters for this game, which I'm accustomed to printed rosters, and you can get them online, but the problem is I can't, I don't have an internet connection from here, only a phone connection. I hope the internet connection will come up at some point during the game. So far it hasn't. So, I will do the best I can, and, just bear with me. So the first score comes on a 2-yard rush with 4:34 to go. Or 4:34 to go here in the quarter. So the kickoff now returns. He's got he spun around, got to about the 29. Looked like he was really trying to get something. That was Troy Larrison, by the way. Looking like the track and field star that he is. I think my son has stepped out, because it is very hot in here, but we need to keep everything closed so, we don't get excess noise that could interfere with the broadcast. Hopefully I'm coming through loud and clear. So anyway, Plainfield now starting the drive, 1st and 10 at their 29, 2 receivers to each side. And now screen pass complete up to the, but he's right down around the line of scrimmage. That was Larrison, by the way, on the reception. They did give him credit for 1 yard, but needing a lot more than that. So, 2 receivers each side again. 1 running back, Newell in shotgun. Takes it, drops back. Screen pass complete to Irwin, and he's going to be up close to the first down. Grant Irwin was the leading receiver for Plainfield last week. 4 receptions, 48 yards, and a touchdown of 26 yards. They give him credit for 7 there. So now the Quakers break huddle. Irwin lines up to the right. handoff there, and this time Hudson a couple of fancy moves, and he's got the first down and more up to about the 44. So that's a pick up of about 7 yards for Noah Hudson. He rushed the first four plays of the game and relinquished his role to Troy Larrison on the first possession. So Hudson 5 for 25, very good start, picking up where he left off last week. 3 touchdowns in his debut at running back. Coach Woodard joking that he was going to be playing wide back this season. Hessen's a 3-year starter, freshman, sophomore, and junior at wide receiver. So now 2 receivers to each side for the Quakers. And off. That gives it to Irwin on a reverse. And Irwin not used to rushing a lot, and he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage. Give him credit for 0 on that one, bringing up 2nd and 10, so we've got to get some yards here. 2:40 to go here in the first quarter, coming at you live here from William Henry Harrison High School near West Lafayette. One of at least 5 high schools here in Tippecanoe County. So now 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Hessen, the running back. Newell in shotgun, hands off to Hessen, and he's up, and he's got about 5 yards there. That'll bring up about 3rd and 5. Last time we turned it over on downs at the Harrison 46. Harrison gets credit for 4 on that one, so we'll bring up 3rd and 6. Didn't get quite as good a spot as I expected. So very big 3rd and 6 for the Quakers, 1:45 to go and counting here in the first quarter against our new rival to the north. So now Newell drops back. He's got some room. He takes it himself, and he's going to be brought down about 2 yards short of the first. Newell on his first carry of the game. I would imagine we would go for it. He's brought down at the Harrison 48, so he's made it into Harrison territory on our first 2 possessions. Newell gets credit for 4 there. Yeah, we are. It looks like we're going for it. Now we've got Larrison in the backfield. 1 receiver to each side. Newell in shotgun. Come on, boys. You got to get this. 9 on the play clock. Takes it. No, he does kick. And it's a sort of a squib punt. It takes a playfield bounce and rolls down to about the 21 or 22. So now the pressure cranks up on the Plainfield defense here. 46.5 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Harrison 7, Plainfield 0. Plainfield has played Tri-West cross-county rival at this point in the season. Each of the last 5 years, Plainfield winning the first 4. Tri-West finally getting us last year in that thriller 26-20. So, 1st and 10 for Harrison up to 21 to start off this drive. 46.5 seconds to go. They have a 7-0 lead. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 2 running backs. Ben Henderson is the quarterback. He takes it and now pitches back, and he's got some room over on the left side, and he's knocked out of bounds just shy for 30. That was Kanoi there. Give him credit for 6. Didn't get quite as good a spot as I expected. Kanoi 3 for 12 now. That's K-N-O-Y. So 2 receivers now to the right, 1 to the left. 2 running backs, Henderson and shotgun. And now a handoff, and it looks like he's going to be very close to the first down, a little bit short. So that was pop there. Oh, so they gave him no gain there. And his first 2 had gone for 14 combined. So very big 3rd down play here for the defense. And now we stopped him dead in his tracks. All right, so it looks like we will be getting the ball back on a punt. We are ready for him. That was Pop again. 2.8 seconds to go with the clock stopped, and now the clock resumes. So after one quarter of play, your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Harrison Raiders 7-0, but the Quakers started to get some momentum going. We'll be back with the second quarter after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gunnell Financial, Julia Burbridge, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyItIndy at MyItIndy.com, MyITIndy at MyITIndy.com, excuse me, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, and Karen Alexander Photography. Thank you, business partners. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Tippecanoe County, we're getting ready to start the second quarter here. 7:51 your time of day. Keep in mind, we started at 7:30 rather than the usual 7 o'clock, presumably to accommodate all the fans from Plainfield trying to make the trip, which would be about 80, 90 minutes. We are in the and now I got a block on the puck. It's a loose ball. We got it, and we take over inside the 10. All right, that's the kind of play we needed. I didn't catch who made the punt, but we love you. All right. So boy, you know, that really silenced this crowd here at Harrison, which we got. I think we got 2,500 Harrison fans here now. So after turning the ball over and downs on our first possession, and then Harrison scoring almost at will, and then punting on our second possession, we stopped in dead in their tracks on their second possession, block a punt, it would take over now at the 8. So, okay, no excuse for not getting a touchdown here. So now three receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back, Hunter Newell, the junior, is the quarterback. Try to shake off left. And now screen pass is complete there, and we're into the end zone for the touchdown. Yes. All right. That was Antonio Williams' first varsity touchdown of his career. So 11:46 to go here in the second quarter. Your Quakers tie it, coming off a blocked punt. And just like that, the momentum changes. Cameron Grimes, now the kicker for Plainfield. He was 2-for-2 on extra points last week. So certainly Newell looks like, you know, he's wanting to shake off last week's disappointing season opener. And Grimes is up and good. And just like that, we are tied. So 11:46 to go. And your Quakers now tied with the host Harrison Raiders. And by the way, the Indianapolis Star just yesterday picked the score of this game, the final score being Plainfield 28, Harrison 27. So maybe it'll turn out that way. Certainly it'd be a great thriller of a victory. And I'll tell you, you know, I drove home pretty mad last week after you know, the game, you know. And I don't mean like mad like, you know, God, I can't stand these players. No, not like that. You know, I always love the Quakers' victory and defeat. Just mad knowing that we let one slip away last week that we should have won. And it looks like the players are, you know, based on that blocked punt, the players look like they're pretty mad too. So anyway, your Quakers look like they're starting to get things on track now. Hopefully the momentum will keep going. So Newell now 3-for-3, 15 yards and a touchdown. And now kicked off, and Harrison takes it. And he's right down just shy of the 20, and he was hit hard. All right. That's what I like to see. So Plainfield clearly starting to seize momentum. Just a second.
No pizza, no chicken. Okay, just let me know if I get some later, okay?
Sorry about that. I'm just trying to find out what kind of food service they have, and I was going to send my son Liam out there to fetch me a few items if they had the pizza. Yeah, they had pizza last time I was here, like I did, you know, like they do every week at Plainfield when I have a game. So anyway, now, and oh, and he's, oh no, and he's got one man to beat out to the end zone. And, yeah, he's going to take it all the way. So 75 yards there. Oh, man. I didn't catch who did it, but, man, that was, God. They said 80 yards there. So now we've got to get those points back. God, what a devastating blow that was. 80 yards for the touchdown there, coming off that kickoff return. So two touchdowns, 18 seconds apart. That's number 25 here, so if I ever get a roster, I'll know who it was. And on my stat sheet, I'm writing the word 25, so I don't confuse that with, you know, his stats. Like I said, Harrison's rosters are online, and I can't get online right now, so that's part of the adventure of high school football commentary, you know, when you commentate here in the boondocks. It's not quite as bad as that night I had 8 years ago in the second round of the playoffs when I commentated Plainfield out at Northview, where I actually had a hard time just getting a cell phone signal. I was commentating that game on my cell phone, and I had to call back like 25 times to reconnect. That was a miserable game. Thankfully, Plainfield did win. And that was the game where I always talk about how the door to the press box, the handle on the press box door was broken off, so they untangled the wire hanger and weaved it through just to serve as the handle. So now the kickoff, and it goes, oh, my God, it takes a... Plainfield bounce. I think Harrison bounced. Did Harrison get it? I hope not. Harrison recovered. Oh, my God. That was a bizarre kickoff because, you know, usually when a it happens sometimes on punts, but on kickoff, it doesn't happen on kickoffs very often where you kick off and then the ball bounces back in the other direction. So Plainfield will take over at the 31. I don't know if that was intentional or not. I know Plainfield had a brilliantly executed surprise onside kick last week that resulted in a score in the third quarter after the first touchdown by Hessen. So now the defense really better step up here and do something big. Man, we do not want to go down by two possessions, believe me. 11:25 to go here in the... And now he throws deep into the end zone in double coverage, however, and it's incomplete. Boy, that was high risk. That was a very high risk play by Henderson. And that, by the way, was the first incompletion of the game by either quarterback. Newell 3-for-3, now Henderson 2-for-3. Henderson the 17-for-27 in last week's game. So 11:06 to go and counting now. I don't know why the clock is running after that incomplete pass. Okay, now they stopped it, but yeah, they need to put time back on the clock. So anyway, now we got a flag here. So we'll see what the call is. Hopefully against Harrison. We can't afford to give them any more free yards, that's for sure. So yeah. So it okay. It's going to be declined by the Quakers. So because there was a right after the snap, there was a tackle for a loss. So they're going to take the loss. So that'll bring up 3rd and 13. So now we just got to get him off the field here. We failed on 3rd and 9 last week, and now, yeah, so we got him. It was a complete pass, but we nailed him for about a 7-yard loss. Yes, awesome timing. So that's going to be. So they have a better spot than I expected. Nevertheless, 4th and 13. So now a few receivers to the left, one to the right. It looks like Harrison is going for it here. So, yeah, they're giving credit for 0 gain. So now it's incomplete. Over his head, there's miscommunication. So Plainfield takes over on downs. So that onside kick ends up not harming us. It's like, you know, we take over at the 33, so that's a pretty decent field position after a kickoff. So good job to our defense for stepping up there. So now Plainfield trailing only, and by the way, I forgot to tell you the extra point was no good off that last kickoff, so. So if we get a touchdown in the conversion, then we get the lead. So now Newell, he's running for his life, and he's brought down for a huge sack. Oh, no. Oh, God. So, God, that's a 10-yard loss there. So 2nd and 20 at the 23. 2nd and 20 is not good. 9:57 to go here in counting here in the second quarter. Come on, boys. Let's get those yards back and more. Very aggressive formation now. 3 receivers to the right, 2 to the left. Empty backfield. Newell in shotgun. Screen pass is complete, but he's only got about 2 yards. We need a lot more than that. It's going to be 3rd and about 18 now. That was to Noah Hessling. That's his first reception of the game. So each of God, they only gave him credit for one there. So each of Newell's passes has been completed to a different receiver. So now 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. Newell in shotgun. Takes snap, rolls to the right. He's got time. He's looking downfield. He gets rid of it, and it's out of bounds. So that's going to bring up 3rd and 19. So probably they'll just try to, you know, be conservative, get a play that's going to get him a few yards here and give him better coverage for the punt. No, I'm sorry. That was 3rd down. Excuse me. So. All right, so that's Newell's first incompletion of the game. He's 4 of 5, but his 4 completions have only gone for 16 yards, so one of them was for the touchdown. So now 9:33 to go here in the second quarter, and the defense is going to be cranked up on the Quakers' defense again. They've had some good moments so far. They had some good moments against Greenfield Central. They contained the wishbone a lot of the game, but they had they gave up 3 gigantic plays over 50 yards each. That was a big factor in the loss. So now a punt bounces up to 45, now up to about the 41. So overall, a pretty good punt. That's about a 35-yarder there, and Harrison will take over at their own 41. 9:33 to go here in the second quarter, leading 13-7. So, anyway, I might step out for a couple minutes of nap time into the hallway to get some snacks. I will let you know. I am alone tonight. All my sons here, but I'm sorry. I am alone as a commentator. Now, pitch back, and we got him in the backfield for a loss of about 2 yards. That was Kanoi there. Carter Kanoi there. Carter Kanoi had that 80-yard touchdown rush. Probably the second most devastating rush against the Clippers I've ever called, the longest being the 99-yarder by Caleb Hicks at Decatur Central last year. After we got that punt, you know, we downed the punt at the one, and then that was, you know, the result of it. So now, then I think the handoff, and McDonald, I'm sorry, Dix is down to the 45, 30, and now he inside the 30 there. That was Henderson, I'm sorry, Henderson. He just found a wide open space, and he took it about 31 yards there. So quarterback Ben Henderson was his first keeper of the game. He had a rushing touchdown last week. They gave him credit for 33 on that one. Now the defense has got to, you know, step up here. So two receivers to the right, one to the left, two running backs, Henderson and shotgun. Six on the shot clock, or the play clock, excuse me. They do get it off with three to go. And now hand off to that was Pop there. They give Pop credit for three. He's 5 for 17 by my count now. 7:58 to go and counting. Still quite a bit of sunlight here in Tippecanoe County, although the lights are on now. 2nd and 7 at the 25 for the Raiders, leading 13-7 over your Quakers. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. One running back, Henderson, in shotgun. Takes the snap, takes the handoff, screen pass, it is complete, and I think that's the first down. It's going to be very close. Let's see. That is Jake Walters. So they give him credit for 9 there. Walters with his second reception. 2 for 20 now. So 1st and 10 for the Raiders at the 16. So one receiver to each side now, two running backs. Henderson and shotgun, 6:54 to go and counting in the quarter. Now handoff there to Pop, and he's tripped up and he gets forward for about a yard, maybe two. Give him credit for 2 there. Pop now 6 for 19. Harrison did not have any star running backs in last week's loss to West Lafayette, but they had 3 guys who got right around 50 each. So they did have balance. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right, 1 running back, Henderson, and shotgun. 10 on the play clock. Harrison with a 6-point lead now. And a screen pass is complete over to his left, and he's brought down around the 11, so it's going to be 3rd and about 5. That's Carter Kanoi there with a gain of 4 there by Kanoi. His second reception, the first one for 0 yards, that one goes for 4. 3rd and 4 now at the 11, huge 3rd down for the Quakers defense here. We got to get a stop. Come on, boys. Now it drops back, and we got a first sack. Yes! Yes! It's about a 12-yard sack there. We'll see what kind of spot he gets, but boy, did we need that. All right. 3 guys swarmed him. He never had a chance. Yes! I'm pumped up now, but So anyway, they gave him credit for minus 9 there, so. So now Harrison attempting a field goal. Number 9. This would be a 37-yarder. This would give Harrison a 9-point lead if he makes this. And it is up, and it is going to be close. He did hit it. So, big play for Harrison. They have that two-possession lead now. And keep in mind, 4:39 to go here in the second quarter. If they do get the ball first, start the second half. So now we're really under pressure to get some kind of score before we go into the locker room. Boy, I'll tell you, that's not counting, obviously, the Hagee brothers, John and Morgan, with Plainfield. That is one of the longest field goals I have ever commentated. Now, John and Morgan routinely hit from that distance, but I haven't seen a lot of other kickers for other schools who do. So now we've got to get a score here, preferably by far a touchdown. Come on, boys, let's get something going. 4:39 to go. 8:11, your time of day. This game's been pretty fast-paced, so we might not get in, might not get out of here too much later than I feared. I was fearing that we might get out super late because, I've got about an 80-minute drive home, so. Take the kick at the 15 up to the 20, 25, 30. I believe that was Larison there on the return. Yeah, it was Larison. Boy, you can tell he's a track and field star. Wouldn't be surprised if he played track and field in college. Wonder if the baseball team has ever tried to get him as a pinch runner. And, I remember somebody told me that there was a time, I think it was the Oakland Athletics, they hired some, like, Olympian sprinter to try to be a pinch runner, but it didn't work out that well. I'll have to look that story up. So three receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back, Newell in shotgun. Screen pass is complete over to his right, got room, but doesn't get a lot, maybe 2 yards. That was Noah Hessing there. Newell 5 for 6, but only for 17 yards. You gotta get more than that. 4:07 to go and counting in the second quarter. Plainfield trailing by 9, so it is a 2-possession deficit. Harrison does get the ball first to start the second half. 2 receivers now to each side. Newell in shotgun, 1 running back. Come on, boys, let's get a big play here. And now he takes it himself, but he's brought down for a loss. So now it's going to be 3rd and long. Wow. So things looking very, very, very concerning now for Plainfield coming off that 2-yard loss there. Newell, I thought he had some running room, but, somebody stepped up and brought him down. 3rd and 11 now at their own 29. Need a big play here. Last week, in the second quarter, Greenfield Central on a 3rd and 9, came through with a 59-yard touchdown pass. Maybe we'll weave similar magic here to get ourselves back in the game. 2 receivers, 6-5, 1 running back. Newell takes it. Now he rolls over to his, right. Got a reception. Was he in bounds? If he is, it's for the first down by about a yard. Yes, we got it. All right. So that's a 12-yard gain there. And that was the first double-digit gain of the evening there by the Quakers. 2:52 to go, however, so we got to be urgent. So the 3 receivers inside now. Pitch back there, and he's got room on the left side, and he gets out of bounds after about pickup of about 4. That was Larrison. Only his second rush of the game. He had 8 last week. Only give him credit for a yard there. He's 3 for 2 tonight on the ground. So 2nd and 9 for the Quakers, 2:46 to go. We did get out of bounds last time at least. Still all 3 timeouts, as does Harrison. Now, a very aggressive rush. We got about 4 up the middle. I believe that was Hessen. No, it was Larrison, excuse me. That's Larrison's best run of the game. That's going to bring him about 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4. Two receivers to the right, one to the left, 3rd and 5 for the Quakers. A very big 3rd down. Now, a handoff. No, he takes the handoff. And he goes deep now. And it is, we got a pass interference penalty, so it'll be, pass interference against Harrison. So we got a 1st down. All right. All right. Boy, did we ever need that. And it stops the clock, too, so we got a 1st down, and now, let's see where they mark it here. I wish it were the spot foul, because that would have given us the ball somewhere around the 20 as it is. Okay, now they're, okay, so we got it now at the Harrison 39, 204 to go, so we're in good shape now. And with all 3 timeouts, we have a full range of options. All right. So 204 to go, and now we've got, so Harrison, Plainfield takes his 1st timeout with 204 to go, so at that, let me catch my breath here. Here's a rundown. We're coming at you live from Harrison, William Henry Harrison High School in Tippecanoe County near West Lafayette. This is the 1st year of this series between Harrison and Plainfield. Plainfield got the ball first, turned it over on downs, then Harrison scored on a touchdown. They scored a touchdown with 4:34 to go in the quarter, making it a 7-0 lead. However, early in the 2nd quarter, Plainfield blocked a punt, and on the 1st play of the ensuing drive, Hunter Newell threw 8 yards to Antonio Williams for the touchdown to tie it. Then, however, on the 1st play of the ensuing possession, Carter Finoy took it 80 yards for a touchdown for Harrison. The conversion, the extra point failed. However, Harrison later added a field goal from 37 yards to take the current lead of 6-7. Now Plainfield has the ball following a pass interference penalty, 1st and 10 at the Harrison 39, 204 to go here in the 2nd quarter. Harrison gets the ball first to start the 2nd half. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. And my son sitting next to me apparently got the joke because he laughed. So, yes, you are correct, Liam. He's got to get rid of it. So now Hunter, doesn't get rid of it for the 2nd time in this game. He's brought down for about 20 yards. Devastating play for the Quakers. Let's see where they... Yeah, he's got to learn to get rid of the ball. He's going to be a great one for us, but yeah, that's... So now 1:47 to go and counting. 14-yard loss there by Newell. 2nd and 24 at the Plainfield 44. 1:37 to go. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. Newell in shotgun. 6 on the shot clock, or the play clock. Come on. Low snap, and he gets it. Screen pass, it's complete. And he gets out of bounds after a short pickup. Actually gets about 9 out of it. So it'll still be 3rd and long, nevertheless. They give him credit for 7, not quite as good as I thought, but, decent. That was Hessen's third reception of the day. But his first, he went for 1 apiece. That one goes for 7. So, 3rd and 19 now. Newell drops back. He's got plenty of time. He's going to rush with this one. Over to, and we got a flag here up to the 45, up to the 50. He goes out of bounds just inside, just inside the 40. But let's see what the call is. Two officials are deliberating now, 1:15 to go. And if this is against Plainfield, I'd imagine that we would punt here. Because, you know, we don't want to give them a chance. And, yeah, it is against the Plainfield holding. So, looks like we probably will, unless it's a replay of down. If they decline the penalty, then it would be about 4th and 10. 1:15 to go here, late in the first half here at William Henry Harrison High School. First year of this new series that replaces our series with cross county rival Tri-West. So Plainfield, now we actually, after that pass interference penalty, we got up to the Harrison 39. Now we're back to our 37. So that is a, and now we got an official timeout with 1:15 to go. And, well, so it's been, you know, an up and down game like last week. We're in danger of this one slipping away. And again, we're heading into next week's showdown against Mooresville. God, we just can't afford, an 0-3 start. It would be so hard to come back from that. We will probably beat Perry Brady in 2 weeks from tonight and Greenwood 3 weeks from tonight. Although, Greenwood did start off with a pretty big victory last week over Seymour. I know Seymour not exactly a perennial powerhouse program, but it was like a really big margin. So maybe Greenwood's going to be better this year. So now 3rd and 33 at the 37. So Newell drops back, takes the pass, rolls to his right. Scott Time looks downfield, throws up the middle, and it is intercepted. Threw it right to him. Should have never been thrown. Threw it into double, maybe triple coverage. Yeah, Newell, that was the first serious mistake he's made all game. Hopefully it will not be, hopefully it will not be converted into any points. 1:03 to go now. 1:03 to go now here in the half. We'll see what Harrison does. This program certainly made a lot of strides since I was last here 9 years ago when they were in the midst of a, when they were in the midst of a 31-game losing streak that ended up being 38. Since then, however, 7 winning seasons in 8 years, 2 sectional championships. What a great job Terry Peebles has done in turning around this program. Okay, so there's a penalty there, and so that negates the interception. No, they said he didn't get, they said he didn't give it, so Plainfield is punting now, so a little bit of a break for the Quakers. It's a fairly weak kick. Bounces just inside the Harrison 40, and now it's down to about the 33. So, 54.5 to go. I would imagine Harrison would be pretty conservative. We'll see. Maybe they'll go in for the dagger. They do have all 3 timeouts left. Plainfield has 1. But, you know, last week in that loss to Greenfield Central, Newell went deep to Grant Irwin about 8 times and was incomplete. Newell's barely gone deep at all today to Irwin or to anybody else. We might need to do that in the second half, but the problem is Harrison's defense will probably just be geared to take away the big play. So anyway, now a handoff, and he's up for about 6 yards. That was Kanoi again. Doesn't look like they're going to do anything fancy. 43 seconds to go and counting. 38 of the, so, and now And now, and they get, now he's got a hole. He's up past midfield, up to about the 42. So Carter Canoy, first gain of about 5. And now he's up to the 44. And now it looks like Harrison has taken its first time out. So, with 28.1 seconds to go here in the first half, your score, Harrison 16, Plainfield 7. Looks like we got about 75 Quaker fans across the field in the opening bleachers. I think we got about 2,500 fans here on opening night in Tippecanoe County, which is about what we had on the Plainfield side of the bleachers last week in our season opener. Harrison's first game last, it's odd, they were playing one of their cross-county rivals, West Lafayette, the Red Devils, but the game was actually played at Lucas Oil Stadium. So, Carter Canoy, by the way, by my count, 7 rushes, 116 yards, and a touchdown, the touchdown coming from 80 yards. First and 10 at the 44 for the Raiders. And now Henderson takes a hands off, and he's breaks the tackle, gets up past the 40. That's Chris Ferguson with what I believe is his first carry of the game. He wears number 33. Give him credit for 4 there. 22.9 seconds to go. Harrison has 2 timeouts left, so they still have plenty of freedom. .826 now, your time of day. So it looks like just like last week, the first half will be played in almost exactly an hour. So now he's returning to the field here. 2nd and 5 now for the 2nd and 5 now at the 38 for Harrison at the Plainfield 38. Takes the snap, hands off, and he almost breaks the tackle, but he's tripped up. That was Canoy there. Gets up about 3, so it's going to be 3rd and short. Clutch stops, 17.3 seconds to go, and Harrison takes his 2nd timeout. So Carter Canoy having a great game for the Raiders tonight, probably the MVP of the whole game. And now Plainfield just got to keep him out of the end zone and also keep him out of field goal range because Harrison has a 37-yard field goal in this game. That's the difference between making it a 1-possession game and a 2-possession game. 3rd and 2 now, 17.3 seconds to go here in the first half. Thanks to the Harrison staff for giving us our own room in the press box. It's invaluable whenever that happens. hold that thought. So the 2 receivers to the right now. Henderson takes it, rolls to his right, and he throws downfield, and he makes the catch. Was he in bounds, though? So that's it is a completion there for 11 yards there. First and 10 at the 22 now. With only 10 seconds to go. So now, and now he throws on the right side and he makes the catch, but did he get it? Yeah, so it's Carter McDonald there. So Carter McDonald with his 9 yards there on that reception. second and one now, 6.2 seconds to go. They'll probably try one play here and then try a field goal if they don't get the touchdown. And now they blitzed him. He goes into the end zone, and it's intercepted up to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. And he's done, and he stopped there, but, man, it's a good good way to end the half with some momentum there. So after one half of play here in Tippecanoe County, your score, Harrison 16, Plainfield 7. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to the second half after these words from our sponsors on audiosportsonline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Purley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITindy at MyITindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, DGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography. Thank you, business partners. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Tippecanoe County, we're at halftime of game two of the season, Plainfield's first road game and their first game in the series against the Harrison Raiders up here near West Lafayette. It's been a wild and woolly game with your Quakers having some good moments, also having some rough moments, but they've come through with a couple of big plays when it counted to keep the game close heading into the halftime. So anyway, right now I am going to take a very quick break. The food service was very late in arriving tonight, so I am going to go out and get some food and see if anybody has a paper copy of the roster, and then I will be back to give you a full first half recap and talk about a few other things. So just hold tight with me for about 2 or 3 minutes or so. Thank you. Well, back here at Tippecanoe County, we're at halftime here in game two of the Indiana high school football season with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the host Harrison Raiders in the first game of this series by a score of 16-7. First of all, let's do a scoring recap with 4:34 to go in the first quarter. Carter McDonald scored on a 2-yard rush. The extra point made the score 7-0. Then in the second quarter, following a blocked punt that Plainfield recovered on the 8 on the first play of the ensuing drive, Hunter Newell threw 8 yards to Antonio Williams for the touchdown. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, tying it at 7. However, on the first play of the ensuing drive, Carter Canoy rushed 80 yards for a touchdown. The extra point failed, and Harrison led 13-0. And finally, with 4:39 to go in the second quarter, DeJoy hit a 37-yard field goal for Harrison, one of the longest field goals I've ever commentated, not by the Hagee brothers, and that brought us to our current score of 16-7, so it is a two-possession lead for the Raiders. Look at the individual statistics, first of all, for Plainfield. Hunter Newell has mostly been accurate. He's completed 7 of 9 passes, but for only 40 yards and 1 touchdown. His leading receiver has been Noah Heslin, who has three receptions for 12 yards, followed by Grant Irwin with 2 for 19, Antonio Williams 1 for 8 and a touchdown, and Troy Larrison with 1 for 1. On the ground, pretty modest numbers to report. Noah Heslin, 7 for 30, Troy Larrison 3 for 6, Grant Irwin 1 for 0, and Hunter Newell 5 for minus 33. Meanwhile, for Harrison, Ben Henderson's completed 7 of 11 passes for 68 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. That coming out the last play of the half. His leading receiver has been Carter McDonald with two receptions for 26 yards. Jake Walters, 2 for 20. Carter Canoy, 2 for 9. And Brendan Gothrop, 1 for 13. On the ground, Carter Canoy leads the way with 8 rushes for 112 yards and a touchdown. Henderson has Ben Henderson has 2 rushes for 33 yards. Ethan Pop has 6 for 18, and Chris Ferguson has 1 for 6. So basically, what Harrison's defense has done is really make Plainfield earn everything they get. They haven't, you know, allowed our guys to get open. You know, like I said last week, you go back to the Greenfield Central loss. Hunter Newell went deep a lot, showing a lot of confidence, and his passes were usually just a little bit off target, but they were at least close. Tonight, however, he just hasn't had many opportunities to get guys. His guys just haven't gotten open very much. And then we've been contained on the ground. Like I said, Noah Heffing last week had, you know, an average of over 6 yards a carry. Today, he's just a little over 4. And we just have struggled to finish off drives. And the only drive we did finish off is the one coming off the blocked punt where we recovered at the 8. So, anyway, Harrison will get the ball first to start off the second half here. And, by the way, I was able to get a lot of the names of the Harrison players from the Plainfield statistician. So, much thanks to him. But anyway, you know, certainly commentary can be an adventure. And by the way, they did give us the Wi-Fi access, the Wi-Fi information, and it still doesn't work. So anyway, hopefully this, you know, well, this I know this isn't typical. I've been doing this 11 years now. And this is the first time this ever happened to me. So now he bobbles the kickoff and falls on it just past the 20. So anyway, the first point of business is to stop Harrison from scoring on this drive, preferably a 3-and-out, if not a turnover. Of course, a blocked punt like we had in the second quarter would be good. But we got to make up 2 scores now. We got nearly half to do it. Come on, boys. Let's get a big win. Go home and build some momentum for next week's showdown against Mooresville, which I hope you all will attend. I'll be talking a little bit more about that later in the broadcast. But, yeah, it should be a very exciting game. So 11:56 to go now in the quarter. And now, screen pass. And we got him right off the bat. It's a reception for a loss. That was Jake Walters. So a 3-yard loss there to start it off. Eleven thirty-one to go in county here in the third quarter in Tippecanoe County. Harrison leading Plainfield 16-7. Second down and Silas and others are marking 2nd and 12. So now low snap. And but he runs with it, and he's got a first down, and more past 30, 35, stripped up just before the 40. So that's a gain of nearly 20 yards there for Ben Henderson. He had a 31-yarder earlier in the game. That's going to go for about 19. Yeah, they gave him credit for 19 there. So 3 for 52 on the ground tonight for Ben Henderson. He was 15 for 48 on a touchdown last week at Lucas Oil Stadium in the loss to West Lafayette. So now 2 receivers out to the right, 2 running backs, Henderson in shotgun, 1st and 10 at their own 39. And now he finds a hole. He's up. He's got another first down, and he's gang tackled around the 46. That was Ethan Pop there for a pickup of about 15 yards. So This drive not off to a good start for the Plainfield defense, and we got a man down, I believe he's for the Quakers. I can't see his number from my vantage point. Ethan Pop, prior to that, was 6 for 18, averaging exactly 3 yards a carry, but he got 15 there. So we got a player, he's repeatedly kicking both legs, appears to be in pain. The clock stops now, 10:32 to go here in the third quarter. 8:52 your time of day. This game started at 7:30, presumably because of the long distance from Plainfield. You know, this is my 11th season of commentating the Quakers. I don't ever remember Plainfield traveling this long to a game before. The longest I ever remember was probably, it would have been either Terre Haute North or Columbus North. We did a home and home with each school. I commentated both away games in that series. Both, by the way, wins by the Quakers. In fact, the Columbus North game, I think one of the most underrated victories in program history. So 10:32 to go here. The clock stopped earlier in the third quarter with Harrison leading 16-7. They Harrison has the ball first and 10 at their own 47. Harrison has quietly been one of the really, I would say, our middle of the pack 5A team, but really they're one of the more consistently winning teams in the state over the last decade. They have finished above 500 7 of the last 8 seasons, which was a heck of a turnaround from the 3 consecutive 0-10 seasons they had before that. Certainly part of the turnaround was moving from the Hoosier Crossroads Conference to the much weaker North Central Conference. But head coach Terry Peebles, who arrived, you know, in 2014 and presided over the end of the losing streak, certainly has been a great blessing to this program. And Tony Martin, who was the head coach the last 4 years before that, the losing streak began under him. He actually started off 3-1, then lost his last 36 games. And he's actually not only remained teaching at the school, but also not only teaching at the school, but he continues to serve as an assistant coach for the Raiders. You know, a lot of people, after being fired, you know, they wouldn't want to, you know, humble themselves and take an assistant position, you know, after being hired as head coach, but Tony Martin did, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And, you know, this is his alma mater, and he's shown a lot of loyalty, a lot of class, a lot of humility. So, you know, those are qualities that we could use more of in sports these days. And now they're bringing out some kind of a motorized cart for this injured Quaker. I will try to get a uniform number on him. Seriously, I mean, it's, you know, bad enough that, you know, I wasn't able to get a roster for Harrison. So I'm sure I'll be able to get one for Mooresville next week. But anyway, and by the way, now I cannot see the injured player at all because there's so much personnel standing around. I hope he's got enough air. But anyway, nobody appears to be panicked. And the player, he was kicking his legs. And, you know, whenever I see a player down, you know, very often one of the first things I do is check to see if he's moving his arms and legs. You know, the scariest injury, one of the few scary injuries I've ever seen in my commentary career was in 2013. It was in the playoffs, the second round. Okay, number 20 for Plainfield, I think they said Will Breeman. Hopefully he'll be okay. He did, at the end, he was walking on his own power. He's sitting on the cart now, but he did get up and walk over to the cart on his own power, groggily, but without assistance. So hopefully he's just a little, you know, shaken. Hopefully this is not serious at all, and he'll bounce back and be ready for that big showdown with Mooresville next week. Maybe even, you know, in this game, we'll see. But yeah, we've got to get a stop here. When we resume play, Harrison will have the ball first and 10 at the Plainfield 47, 10:37 to go here in the third quarter. Harrison leading 16-7. Plainfield's only, I think he said Will Freeman. I'm not able to, because I can't get online, I can't get to the Plainfield roster either. However, I know a lot of the Plainfield players, you know, so it's not as necessary with them. So the player now carted off on the field, and we are ready to get back to action here at Tippecanoe County. I guess about 70 or 80 miles north of Plainfield. So, one receiver to each side, two running backs, Henderson and shotgun, hands off, and gets up for about 7 yards. And the way that Harrison is lining up, and by the way, they get Kanoi credit for 7 there. But the way that this is, I'm hold that thought. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Henderson is shotgun, 1 running back. And he takes it himself, and he's got the first down and more, plows his way up. About 4 yards after contact, he gets about 7. So Henderson quietly having a good game on the ground as well. And the, so Harrison has it 1st and 10 at the 33. And boy, I'll tell you, I can see, you know, how the rejuvenation of this program has really brought back the enthusiasm of the fans compared to when I was last here. Not 9 years ago in the midst of that losing streak. 4 for 59 on the ground now for Ben Henderson, 9:14 to go on counting in the third quarter. Got to get a stop here. And now takes the handoff, and he's got inside. He's got another first down inside the 20 this time. So good fake there by Ben Henderson. That was a Scott Amore caliber fake. Scott Amore, the great option quarterback at Danville, who was a senior back in 2012 for Danville, my rookie year. An outstanding, outstanding handoff faker. So 1st and 10 at the 18 now for Harrison. And now on a reverse, and he's got, it looked like he had a hole, but he was stopped for just about 2, so good coverage there by the Quakers. Carter Kanoi, 10 rushes, 120 yards, and a touchdown, 2nd and 8 now for the 16. Very big stand for the Plainfield defense here. And now we got another short rush. That was Ethan Pop there. That's going to be 3rd down at about 5 or 6. Giving credit for 4 there, so 3rd and 4, very, very big 3rd down. And keep in mind, they are in Jujoy's field goal range. She hit from 37 yards earlier. This would be 29 from here. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. 1 running back, Henderson in shotgun. Takes it, and he's got time. Rolls to his left, now he rolls to his right, goes up front. But we stop him right around the line of scrimmage. So it's going to be a very big 4th down. I'd imagine, you know, they would go for the field goal here, but we'll see. So it looks like they're giving him credit for no gain there, so actually -1. So, yeah, good. So we got a little bit better of a stop than I thought. So I assume that they will. Now they're in position to go for it here, showing a lot of bravery. So now 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right, 2 running backs. They could be, you know, maybe they'll call a timeout. Maybe they're trying to draw a penalty or something. 10 on the play clock. Takes a snap. Throws over to his right. And it's, oh, he dropped it. He dropped it. He had it, and it would have been a 1st down. All right. So big break for the Quakers here. They take over at their own 13, 6:22 to go. trailing by 9, 6:22 to go in the third quarter, that is. We started this game 7:30. This is the longest road trip for the Quakers in a long time. Probably over 10 years. So now remember that, you know, and remember, Harrison did consume nearly half of the quarter on that drive. It's 6:22 now. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Now a handoff here, and he runs hard at it, but he only gets maybe three or four. That was Larrison. Harrison, they give credit for three there. He's 4 for 9 on the game now. He and Harrison have both been held far below what they did last week. We need some kind of breakthrough here. And now he stays on his feet after getting hit, but and then, you know, gets brought down around the line of scrimmage. So, very big 3rd and 7, very critical 3rd and 7 for Plainfield right now. And, you know, I've noticed that Plainfield is taking very few, they're not doing much throwing deep like they did last week. They might need to do something adventurous like that. We'll see what happens. 5:02 to go, but this is a very big 3rd down here. And now, Hunt Newell running over to his right, and he runs out of bounds. So it's 4th down, and the Quakers will be punting from their end zone. So, squandered opportunity there. By the way, that was a 7-yard loss there. By Newell. So 4th and 14 at the 9. Punter staying in the middle of the end zone. He does get off a good punt, and it bounces at the 30 up to about the 38. It goes out of bounds. So all things considered, not a bad punt. He had to hurry to get it off. So Harrison will be taking over at the Plainfield 37. Great field position. We got to get another stop here. Defense has come through with a couple of big stops tonight. We need another one now. We've already used more than a fourth of this second half. Only 3 offensive plays. We got to do more than that. We don't want to take the chance of going down 0-3 next week when Mooresville comes to town. You know, I'm not saying we can't win that game, but it's going to be a tall order. We probably have to play our A game and then hope for the ball to bounce our way a few times. So now, Harrison with the next possession up for about 3 or 4. That was Ethan Pop. 4:30 to go and counting. Give him credit for 6 there. 2nd and 6 for the Raiders at the Plainfield 33. 4:18 to go and counting. 3rd quarter, Harrison 16, Plainfield 7. Now a handoff, and he's tripped up after about 2 or 3. And now Plainfield thinks they got it on a fumble. Let's see. Apparently not. They give it to Kanoy for a short game. Give him credit for 2. I have him now 11 for 123 and a touchdown on the game. The touchdown comes from 80 yards. So 3rd and 4, very big, very critical 3rd down for the Quakers defense right now. 3:30, 3, 3:33 to go and counting here in the third quarter. They trail by 9. Now takes the snap, rolls to his right, throws, and now it's over his head. He got both hands on it, but didn't get the grip, so it's 4th and 4. All right, so that's 2 of passes in a row that should have been caught for a first down that weren't. And the clock keeps on ticking. They got to stop the clock. Come on. That's the second time they failed to stop the clock after an incomplete pass today. They finally, it keeps going. Come on. I don't know what the problem is here. It's now 2:55, 4th and 4 now. We got to get them off the field here. Come on. So now a fake snap. And we got a grip sack. Yes. All right. That's the kind of play we need. So 4 and out after that punt. So we take over at our own 35, 2:45 to go. Still a solid amount of time. 14 minutes and 45 seconds, nearly a whole college or NFL quarter to make up 9 points. But yeah, they let probably 30 seconds run off the clock that shouldn't have there. Don't know if anybody on the playing field, the coaching staff, is complaining or not. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right, 1 running back, a handoff, and they're right on top of him, and he doesn't get more than maybe a yard. That was Antonio Williams, who made our only touchdown in this game on that 8-yard reception. That's his first rush of the game. They give him credit for 1. We've been very, very surprisingly conservative on offense tonight. I think we might have to take some really big chances here coming up. 2 receivers each side now. 1 running back. Newland shotgun. Takes it. Screen pass is complete, and he's out of bounds on the right side. That was Kale. Vanderbush with his first reception of the game. And they, you know, so that's a gain of about 6 there. I believe that's Vanderbush's first ever varsity reception. So 2 receivers, each side, 1 running back. Newell looks, throws downfield. He's got a catch. Did he get inbounds? Yes. That was to Isaiah Miller. He's got the first down, pick up about 8 yards there. There is a flag. Hopefully it's not against us, but we'll see. That'd be devastating if it were when we're finally starting to get some momentum going. And yeah, it looks like it's going to be against the Quakers. That would wipe out about an 8-yard gain if it is against us. We've got 3 officials deliberating based on the movement of the Quakers. I'm guessing it's against them, but no, they wave off the penalty. Okay, good. So that's going to be about an 8-yard gain. That'll be the first reception of the game for Isaiah Miller. Credit him with 8 on that, so it's 1st and 10 to 50. So Newell has actually completed passes to 6 different receivers tonight, but only an average of 6 yards of reception. They got to do better than that. So now Newell throws deep. He's got a man open. Intercepted. He threw it into 2-on-2 coverage. I think he was going after Irwin. Oh, God. I know, you know, we were at a time when we had to take chances, but I just hate to see that. So now Newell's first reception of the game. So Harrison will take over inside their own 21:09 to go in the third quarter. And the window is closing here. We've got to get something going very quickly. Left in this game. 9:12 your time of day. Harrison takes over at the 17, two receivers to the left, one to the right, two running backs, each running back standing to, standing on one side of the quarterback. And now handoff, and he's got a big hole up to the 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, and he's brought down around the 43 after a pickup of about 40 yards there. That was Ethan Pop with his first explosive rush of the game. They give him credit for 40 there. I have him now 10 for 80, an average of 8 yards a carry, 56.5 seconds to go, and counting here in the third quarter. Harrison with a 16-7 lead. No scoring here in the third quarter. So will Harrison be, will they be conservative, or will they try to stick the dagger in it? We shall see. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Two running backs, excuse me. And now, takes the handoff, and, Henderson takes it up himself for about 4 or 5. That could be the last play of the quarter. Henderson gets 5. I have him 8 for 76 now. 12 seconds to go, and it looks like Harrison's going to be content to let the clock run out. So, your Plainfield Quakers, 12 minutes left to avoid an 0-2 start. Heading into the last quarter, they trail the Harrison Raiders 16-7 here at AudioSportsOnline.com. We'll be back with the thrilling conclusion after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank you for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gannell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITND at MyITND.com. That's my... MyITND at MyITND.com. I-70 Weather Service and Garage. I-70 Wrecker Service and Garage. I-70 Wrecker Service and Garage. BGW Construction LLC. Beacon Sign Company. Jeff Brown Photography. And Karen Alexander Photography. Well, back here at Tippecanoe County, we're about to start the fourth quarter of this game with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Harrison Raiders 16-7. Harrison has the ball second and 5 at the Plainfield 38. Snap. And a rush for about 2 or 3 yards. So that'll bring up third and short. That's Carter Canoy there for the Raiders. He is the MVP of this game. Give him credit for 2 on that one. I have him 12 for 125 on a touchdown, including the touchdown was from 80 yards. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Henderson is shotgun with 2 running backs. 15 on the play clock. Takes the snap. Drops the back. Rolls through. And now he goes forward. But we got him for a loss. All right. So that'll bring up 4th down. 4th down and about 5. Will they go for it? Will they punt? We shall see. Henderson's had a lot of success rushing in this game, but we stopped him dead in his tracks there. 11:04 to go. So you got 11:04 to make up the 2 scores, 2 possessions. One of them can be a field goal. Problem is we have not gotten much going offensively at all. Our only score came as the result of a blocked punt that we recovered at the Harrison 8. So 4th and 4th, 37, very critical. 4th down here, we've got to get him off the field. Come on, boys. Takes the snap, takes the handoff, drops back, and we got it! We got it! Yes! And the ball comes loose! We got it! We got it! And they think he was down either way. It's going to be our ball. The only question is where. If the ball is ruled down, nevertheless, we take over close to midfield. All right. So the way the defense played on those last 2 plays, they're playing like they, you know, they really want to save this game here. So that'll be about an 8-yard loss there. So Plainfield will take over at their own 45. In 31 to go, 42 didn't get quite as good a shot, quite as good a spot as I would have guessed. But nevertheless, decent field position, 58 yards from the end zone. Now we got to get something going here. We've struggled to sustain drives the whole game. Three receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back, Newland shotgun. High snap, but he gets it. Big standoff, throws over to his left. He's got a completion for a short gain. That's Noah Hessling with his fourth reception of the game. They give him 5 for that. So now 10:06 to go. And we got a looked like that was Williams on a rush for about for a first down, but you know, we got a flag. Let's see what it is. Could be coming back, I think it is. So now it could have been 1st and 10. Now it looks like it's going to be 2nd and 10. So 2nd and 9 now. So wiping out that 1st down, so you know, that gives a lot more urgency. 2nd and 9 now at the 42. Hand off there, and he gets up for only about 2 or 3. So it's going to be 3rd and about 6. Antonio Williams there on the rush. Williams did have a touchdown earlier. They give him 3 there. 2 for 4 on the ground, 1 for 8 through the air. That was the touchdown coming off the blocked punt. So a very critical 3rd and 6 for the Plainfield offense now. Trailing by 9 at their own 45, 9:23 to go in the game and counting. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Screen pass, and it's dropped. It's dropped. Hunter Newell, 10 of 13 through the air, but only 59 yards, not even 6 yards to completion. I think he's thrown deep twice in this whole game, and now will we go for it? Will we punt? Clock stops with 9:02 to go. Looks like we are going to punt, so the pressure will be on our defense again. Coach Woodard is a bold guy, but I'd be very surprised if he went for a fake here. He's done some pretty daring things over the years, but anyway, 9:02 to go. So they're putting 8 seconds back on the clock to 9:10. Fourth and 6 at the 45. It's a high punt. Bounces it out to 28. Now it takes a play field bounce inside the 20, and it goes up to about the 16. So that'll end up being a 39-yard punt there for the Quakers. Now we got to take advantage of, you know, the not very good field position that we put Harrison in. They take over with a 9-point lead, 8:57 to go. 9:21 your time of day. Hopefully we won't get out here too late because my son and I have about an 80-minute drive home to Indianapolis, not to mention my son wants to go ride some elevators tonight. One of his greatest hobbies. If any of you are elevator fans, go check out his YouTube channel, Elevator Dude. He has over 300 videos of elevators on there. So we're back to action here, 10. And now we stopped him right on the line of scrimmage on a rush. That was tough. So that'll be probably no gain. Maybe it might give him 4 targets off to 1. 8:40 to go in counting. We can't even let them get a first down here. We got to get the ball back in fast. Another blocked punt would be great, or, you know, a turnover. Second and 10 now. So moving at the line, we got a flag before the snap. And it's going to be against Plainfield. So we just gave him 5 3 yards, 8:25 to go. The clock stopped. Now it's resumed. Time's running out here. I know it's only game 2 out of 9 for the regular season, but there's already a strong sense of urgency. This has not been a good start to the season for Plainfield. Certainly we don't want to go, you know, a whole lot. Oh, that's, and they fumble! They pick it up, but we got him, we swarm him, and he's down for a loss of about 5. All right. So I'll bring up 3rd and about 10. Good job being right on top of it. All right. That was McDonald there, by the way. So they call it an incomplete pass, by the way, so that's good for us because, you know, it's, except it means that, you know, they didn't have the 5-yard loss. But, yeah, but it does stop the clock at the same time, so it's kind of good, kind of bad. So anyway, now it takes the handoff. We got at least 3 flags down. He's up, McDonald's up. If it counts, it'll be about an 8-yard gain, including a first down, but, you know, let's see what the, flags are about. 7:41 to go, clock stops. So, okay, it's against Harrison, good. All right. So that moves the, so that'll make it 3rd and 10. So we just got to get them off the field. Last week we might have won had we not given up that 59 yard touchdown pass because of that missed tackle when it was 3rd and 9. We got to get them off the field and fast. All right, 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 2 running backs. Henderson and shotgun, 7:23 to go. And now they swarm him, and he gets rid of it, and the receiver gets a catch and gets up for about 4 or 5. It's going to be short of the first down, well short. That's Piccinoy. So now the punting team comes out, 6:47 to go in counting. Boy, it'd be great if we got another block here. Snap. A good punt this time, and it bounces inside Quaker territory, goes out of bounds around the 40. So that's about a 40-yard punt there. So Plainfield takes over, 6:27 to go in the game. They need 2 scores. You know, right now I think about one of my favorite quotes from John Wooden, who had a lot of great quotes. He said, be quick, but don't hurry. So, 1st and 10 now for the Quakers at their own 43, 6:27 to go. Hand off, and they're right on top of him. We just haven't gotten much going at all on offense. That was Troy Larrison there. We're going to have to, you know, I know last time, you know, when the 103 deep, it was intercepted, but we got to do something. You do something bold here. So now Vanderbush reception, but they're right on top of him, and he only gets about two or three, so it's going to bring up third and long. It's going to be about third and seven. Yeah, they give him three there. I said Cale Vanderbush earlier. I meant Cade Vanderbush. Cale, of course, was a senior last year, now at University of Iowa Hawkeye. Third and seven now. Two receivers deep side, one running back, Hunter Newell, the quarterback, and shotgun. Now he rolls to his left. He thinks he'll take it himself. Looks downfield, throws it, and he's got a reception. I believe it's inbounds for the first down. Let's see. Okay, so that's a 14-yard gain there. So first and 10 at the 40, 4:46 to go, however, so we got to hurry. Well, be quick, but don't hurry. Sorry. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. And now a Newell, and he dodges, does a lot of screen targets and starts scrambling. Now takes it up himself, and he gets out of bounds after a pick of about eight. And we got a late hit. I think it's going to be a personal foul, which would give us 15 free yards. Let's see. We're waiting on the signal. That would put it inside the 20 if it's what I think it is. If it is a personal foul for the late hit. Because I think Hunter got 7 or 8 there on that rush. The clock now stopped at 4:31 to go in the fourth quarter. Plainfield trailing by 9, so it is a two-possession deficit. So, this is a pretty long deliberation here, too. By the way, that last reception was by Grant Irwin. So now, okay, Plainfield now has the ball at 17th after the 8-yard pickup there by Hunter Newell. So Plainfield now has the ball first and 10 at the Harrison 17 with 4:31 to go into the game. We're trailing by 9, so we got to get two scores. One of them could be a field goal. It doesn't matter what order they come in. But we got no time to waste here. So now three receivers to the right, one to the left. Plainfield with their best offensive drive of the game. One running back, Hunter Newell, screen pass, and it's just over his head. Noah Heston, the intended receiver, 12 for 16 now through the air for Newell, but mostly very short passes. So second and 10 now for the Quakers at the Harrison 17. First game of this series, hold that thought. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. Takes the snap. He's got time. Rolls over to his left. He runs inside the 15, inside the 10, out of bounds. So the clock will stop just short of the first down, a pick of about 7 or 8 there by Hunter Newell. So we're knocking on the door of making it a one-possession game here. Still 4:12 to play. See what kind of spot they give him. It'll be 3rd and 2 after an 8-yard pickup. So Newell with two pickups of 8 yards apiece on this drive. 3rd and 2, we got, so two receivers deep side, one running back, Newell, high snap, screen pass, gets it inside the 10, inside the 5, we got the first, it's going to be down to about the 3. So another completion to Grant Irwin. So that'll be first and goal now at the, let's see where they mark it. The clock does continue ticking, 3:46 to go and counting. This is the best Plainfield's offense has looked all game. So now two receivers to the left. Now it fakes the handoff. Newell tries to take it himself. I think he's going to be a yard short. The clock will keep running, 3:28 to go. So the thing is, we gotta get that score on this play. You know, we can't, because if it takes us a couple two more plays, I mean, that could eat up another minute, and we don't have that time to, you know, to waste. 3:02 to go and counting. Second and goal at the one now. Now a handoff, and we got the touchdown. That's the one possession game. 2:50. Did they say? Yes. So I believe that was Hessling there. So 2:51 to go, and now it's a one-possession game, 16-13, 2:51 to go. We do have all three timeouts left. Yeah. So now Cameron Grimes on the extra point to make it a two-possession game, low snap. But they get the kick up, and it is good. So, Plainfield now, 2:51 to go. Yeah, that was Noah Hessling on the touchdown there. So Noah Hessling, the converted wide receiver, started wide receiver as a freshman, sophomore, and junior, now with four rushing touchdowns. Here as a senior. So now Plainfield will have to get the ball back. We have all three timeouts as the Harrison. We trail by two. If we do get the ball back, a field goal will win it. I do not know what kind of range Cameron Grimes has. I just know he is 4-4 on extra points. So at least he'd be, you know, pretty reliable from extra point range. Beyond that, I do not know. Boy, do I miss the Hagee brothers. I remember once interviewing when Mecca and Rob Kendall and J.P. Sinclair and I were doing the Hendricks County Sports Show on Saturday mornings about 5 or 6 years ago. I remember asking Coach Woodard if there were any younger Hagee coming down the turnpike. Unfortunately, he said no. But hopefully we can pull this one out. Onside kick, and Harrison recovers just past the 50. So we got to do no worse than a third and out, if not a turnover. We got to do no worse than a three and out here, if not a turnover. Because when we do get the ball back, if we get the ball back, which is not a guarantee at this point, we've got to, we don't want to have to, you know, we don't want to have to rush anything. We want to have time. I mean, we're obviously going to have to be urgent, but we also don't want to have to be desperate either. So first and 10, Harrison at their own 49, two receivers to the left, two running backs, handoff there. And we got up for about 3 or 4 yards, got a couple of yards after contact. That was Stephen Pop there. 2:38 to go and County. They give him credit for 5, a little more than I hoped you would get there. So 2:28 to go and counting. We'll see when Plainfield starts using their timeouts. But well, we can't let them get, if they get a first down here, that will be near fatal. So we got to stop them. Plainfield trailing by 2 now. Harrison with the ball, 2nd and 5 at the Plainfield 46. 2:11 to go and counting. Now a handoff, And this time there's a fake and he's got the first down, so we're in big trouble now. That was Henderson for about 10 yards, 2 minutes to go. I think Plainfield might start using the timeouts now. Henderson has had a very good game on the ground. I have him 11 for 80. So the clock ticking now after the change of reset. First and 10 now, Harrison at their own 36. A very big chance now that Plainfield will not get the ball back. Keep in mind, Harrison is a good team. They started off the season ranked number 9. They've had a winning record 7 of the last 8 years, including 2 sectional championships. So this would not be a disastrous loss, but certainly a disappointing loss. And now he's tripped up in the backfield. And now I think we're going to use a timeout there. So the clock does stop. I believe Plainfield, yeah, that was popped there on the carry. I think they're stopping for no gain. And the clock has stopped at 121. All 3 timeouts are shown by both teams, but I believe Plainfield the scoreboard showing 3 timeouts for both teams, but I believe Plainfield just used their first, which was a wise use of it. So Ethan Poff, I believe, was stopped dead in his tracks. They might give him credit for 1. So it will be 2nd and long, nevertheless. But we cannot let them have another first down. If they do, I think they will be able to run out the clock at this point. 1:21 to go left in the game. Very exciting game. It's been close the whole way. Plainfield just has not made enough big plays, and that's the bottom line. And that is going to have to change over these last 7 games. Our defense has done a fairly good job, containing Harrison. So now back to action here. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 2 running backs, Henderson and shotgun. Big snap, handoff. He breaks through the line, and he gets up for about 5 or 6. It's going to be about 3rd and 4. That was Ethan Pop again. And I believe Plainfield will – I believe they already took the timeout. So it's still showing them. So they give him credit for 5 there. So Popeye up 14 carries for 90 yards now. But, they're still – okay, now they've got the scoreboard corrected. So Plainfield has used timeouts on the last 2 plays. But that means that we have to get them off the field here or else they will be able to run out the clock. So your score now, Harrison 16, Plainfield 14, 1:16 to go here in the game. Harrison has a 3rd and 5 at the Plainfield 30. Harrison is located in Tippecanoe County near West Lafayette. Harrison, the only newcomer on Plainfield's schedule, regular season schedule. We could, meet in a sectional. They're one of our sectional rivals this year. So now back to action here. Picks the handoff. Henderson picks it himself. He's set at the line of scrimmage, but he paused forward. I think he's got the first. If he's within a yard at least. Let's see. The official is not signaled yet. He might be a yard short. No, he got it. Well, they actually hit Henderson right around the line of scrimmage, maybe a yard later. They actually hit Henderson at or near the line of scrimmage, but he made a second effort and pushed forward for about 4 yards after contact to get that first down. So I give them all the credit in the world for that. And now they will be able to run out the clock, unfortunately. And now now they go all the way for the touchdown. Oh, no. Carter Canoy, 25 yards. And I thought they would just, run out the clock there, which they could have, but they decided to go for the exclamation point, and they did risk the fumble. But wait a minute, it just occurred to me. This game isn't over yet. It's an 8-point It's an 8-point lead now, and if he misses this extra point, we will be able to tie with the touchdown number two. So, you know, hopefully, you know, now we've got to, you know, focus on stopping this conversion here. And I think there is a penalty that I saw after the touchdown. I think it's for unsportsmanlike conduct against Harrison. I believe that would be assessed on the kickoff. If it were to be assessed on the conversion, that would be great because that means almost certainly they would not get any conversion points. Not certain, but likely. That's Carter Canoy's second touchdown of the game, by the way. The first one was from 80 yards, second one was from 75. But boy, I don't know if Harrison was even thinking about the potential consequences. So yeah, so now the extra point now all of a sudden is 35 yards. So that, you know, makes it a much bigger chance that they're going to miss it. Hopefully they will. Now, remember, Jujoy did hit a 37-yarder. This is from 35 yards. And it is up, and no, he missed it. So we are in it. We are in this. A touchdown of the two, and we will tie it. So, Harrison went for that touchdown there to put the exclamation mark on the game, you know, when they could have run out the clock, couldn't come back to haunt them. Maybe not, but we'll see. The point is, we got the shot now. So you wonder what head coach Terry Peebles is going to think about that now. So don't go anywhere yet. We have 39.4 seconds and one timeout. Not likely, maybe a 1 in 20 chance, but it can be done. So we are going to get a barn burner of finish at least. Nine forty-four. Your time of day. This game has only been going on around 2:14 now. We started at 7:30 instead of the usual 7 tonight. I'm pretty sure all of our games the rest of the year are scheduled to start at 7. Now, in the playoffs, if we run into Harrison or Lafayette McCutcheon, we might have a 7:30 start time. We'll see. And now it's a squib kick taken at the 25, right up to about the 30. 35's got some room over on the left side of the field, up close to the 40. Noah Hestung there on the return. 33.1 seconds to go. So now we've got a shot at this. Well, sometimes it's just better to kneel at the clock, you know. So we just got to take advantage, you know, in football, in sports. One thing I've learned over the years, you don't owe anyone an apology when they give you a gift. You just got to take what you're given. Okay, the scoreboard now says 37. So we got 63 yards to go, 33.1. We got 33.1 seconds to go, 63 yards to get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to tie the game and send it into overtime. So now Newell throws over to the right side. Did he get it? The clock is still running. And now I think stops with 23.7 seconds. I think they're going to have to put several seconds back on. I couldn't tell if he made the catch or not. A couple of officials are deliberating now. Incomplete pass. Okay, they put 6.3 seconds back on the clock from 22.7 to 29. Glad the officials were on top of that there. So second and 10 now. Quakers, 29 seconds to go, 63 yards to get a touchdown and a two to tie the game and send it into overtime. Newell drops back. And now he throws downfield. He's got a man open. It is caught inside the 35, and he's out of bounds around the 30. I believe that was Grant Irwin. Yes, it was. He gets up a little bit limping, but that is a 33-yard gain. That's more than half the yards we needed. All right. So they gave him actually a little bit better than I thought. That's a 36-yard gain. So Irwin, 5 for 76 now. And the clock, they're going to have to, what are they doing? The clock is running. 14 seconds, so we've got that timeout left. Come on. And there's a lot of confusion here. The clock now, the referees now blow the whistle, 8.6 seconds to go. I think they're going to put some more time. Maybe Plainfield didn't realize that after they reset the clock, that it was going to start rushing again. Did they, I don't know if the clock was restarted at the wrong time or if Plainfield wasn't prepared for that. Nevertheless, the Quakers, you know, just squandered. They probably lost an opportunity for at least one play. Nevertheless, we got a barn burner of a finish coming at you. 8.6 seconds to go. I don't know if there's going to be any more time put back on the clock or not. Plainfield, though, has the ball at the Harrison 37, trailing 22-14. The Quakers will tie the game if they get a touchdown and a successful two-point conversion. Maybe two. I would guess probably they're going to try throwing in the end zone here, so if it doesn't work, they'll, you know, assuming there's not an interception, they'll have at least one more chance to do it.
Oh, my God.
Come on, boys. Let's do it here. So three receivers to the left, one to the right. Newell and shotgun, one running back. They put a little time back on the 11 seconds. So Newell now, and he takes it himself. He's up to the 25. No, he throws it to the end zone now. 3 seconds to go. It's bobbled, and it is intercepted, and that'll be it. That'll be it. Oh, my God. What a tense finale. So your Plainfield Quakers nearly pull it out. They fall a little bit short and drop to 0-2 on the season. Heartbreaking loss. Oh, my God. Well, disappointing loss for Plainfield, but next week is a new game, and we will be back with a recap. We will be back with a recap and a look ahead to next week's showdown with Mooresville after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Ganell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Purley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Blackstar Bank, Bailey & Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITIndy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, and Karen Alexander Photography. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Tippecanoe County for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have just fallen short in heartbreaking fashion, losing to the host Harrison Raiders in the first game of this series by a score of 16-14. It's a game in which Plainfield played fairly well defensively throughout. 22-14, excuse me. Thank you, Liam. My son, 22-14, your final. It's a game in which Plainfield played fairly well defensively throughout, but the offense just didn't get much going until the fourth quarter when our margin of error was down to zero. Anyway, with 4:34 to go in the first quarter, Carter McDonald scored on a two-yard touchdown pass from hold on just a second here. Let me pull up my snatch meter. I'm sorry. So, correction there. Carter McDonald, with 4:34 to go in the first quarter, scored on a 2-yard rush. The extra point was good, making it 7-0. However, following a blocked punt that Plainfield recovered at the Harrison 8, Hunter Newell passed 8 yards to Antonio Williams for a score. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 7-7. However, on the first play of the ensuing drive, Carter Canoy rushed 80 yards for a touchdown. The extra point failed, making it 13-7. Then with 4:39 to go in the second quarter, DeJoy hit a 37-yard field goal, giving Harrison its first two-possession lead of the game by a score of 16-7. And then there was no more scoring after that for nearly a full half of football until it was 2:51 to go in the game. Noah Hessen scored on a one-yard rush, making the score 16-14 after Grimes hit his extra point. And then with 39.4 seconds to go in the game, after Harrison had gotten the first down and could have run out the rest of the clock, they decided to go for an exclamation point anyway, a meaningless score, and they got that on the 25-yard rush by Carter Canoy. However, it was a big blunder because, first of all, there was an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after the play that backed up the extra point 15 yards. The extra point was no good, and because at that point, Harrison's lead was only 8 points, 22-14. That meant that that Plainfield had 39.4 seconds to go to get a game a tying touchdown, a 2-point conversion that would have sent the game into overtime. And they gave a great effort, but had virtually zero margin for error. They got as far as the Harrison 27 on a 36-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Grant Irwin, the longest offensive play for Plainfield in this game. However, then on the next play, Hunter Newell threw for the touchdown, and it was intercepted on a tip, and then the clock ran out on that play, so the final score was 22-14. A look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell completed 14 of 20 passes for 119 yards, most of the yards compiled in the fourth quarter, one touchdown and two interceptions. For the receiving, Grant Irwin led the way for the second consecutive week. Tonight he had 5 receptions. Hold on. There's an announcement here. Lost cell phone here. Lost cell phone announcement. But anyway, for receiving, Grant Irwin was 5 for 76. However, it goes way down from there. Only one player even cracks double figures in receiving. That was Noah Hessling, who was 4 for 17. Antonio Williams was 1 for 8 with the touchdown. Isaiah Miller, 1 for 8. Cade Vanderbush, 2 for 9. And Troy Larrison, 1 for 1. Rushing, a big disappointment tonight. Noah Hessling, 8 for 31 and a touchdown. Hold on. Okay. More. Okay. So, more announcement about the missing cell phone. But anyway, rushing, a big disappointment tonight. In the last week, Noah Hessing, 21. For 129 and a touchdown. Troy Larrison, 8 for 73 tonight. A huge drop-offs for both. Hessling was 8 for 31 with a touchdown. Larrison, 6 for 9. Antonio Williams, 2 for 4. Grant Irwin, 1 for 0. And Hunter Newell, 9 for minus 23. Statistics for Harrison were not overwhelming, but were good. Ben Henderson completed 9 of 16 passes for 70 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception, the interception being the last play of the first half. On the ground, Jake Walters had 3 receptions for 18 yards, Carter McDonald 2 for 26, Carter Canoy 3 for 13, and Brendan Gothrop 1 for 13. And then on the ground, that was where the Raiders did the bulk of their damage. Carter Canoy, 13 rushes for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ethan Pop, 14 for 90. Ben Henderson, 12 for 85. And Chris Ferguson 1-6. So in conclusion, this was a game in which the two teams were pretty evenly matched coming in. Like I said, the Indianapolis Star predicted a 1-point Plainfield win, 28-17. Both teams started the season receiving votes in the AP poll. Harrison polling at 9th, Plainfield at 16th. Both teams had a loss to a lower class team in their openers, and each came in playing with a sense of urgency, not wanting to start 0-2 in a 9-game regular season. Each wanted to build some momentum starting tonight. Harrison obviously came out fired up in front of this, in front of their opening night crowd. Their game last week was at Lucas Oil Stadium. They really packed the stands tonight, about 2,500 fans. Big kudos to the 75 or so Plainfield fans who made the trip of close to an hour and a half here to the West Lafayette area. We're just outside of West Lafayette here in Tippecanoe County. And basically, the bottom line is that we just didn't do enough offensively. We didn't try any big plays much until the fourth quarter, when we had almost no margin for error. And then we started to have some success with it. We did get the score. We got the touchdown, and then, you know, drove well on the last drive. And the staff asked if we wanted the remaining cookies. I told them to go take the cookies. So anyway, I love the informality of these broadcasts, because I'm actually a very informal person most of the time. But anyway, basically, they rushed very well, and they were able to sustain drives even when they didn't convert them into points. They were able to keep our offense off the field, and then when our offense got on the field, we had a hard time moving the chains. I think that, you know, Hunter he played a lot of the game like he was afraid to throw deep tonight. Although when he started doing it in the fourth quarter, he had quite a bit of success with it, you know. So hopefully that momentum will carry over to next week. But basically, I won't say this is a game that we gave away like we did last week. There are six or seven plays where if you take away one of them from last week, we would have won that game, you know. And I really think that we not missed that tackle on 3rd and 9 there in the second quarter where Greenfield Central ended up converting it into that 59-yard touchdown. I think we would have ended up winning that game. And had we entered tonight 1-0, 1-1, you know, with an 8-point loss on the road at Harrison, it would not be anything to hang your head over too much. But, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, if we lost either one of these games, it would be so bad. But 0-2 really hurts. But nevertheless, they were both one-possession losses to good teams. And I think Greenfield Central is probably going to end up being a top-10 team in Class 4A this year. And we just have to get a lot of rough edges polished. Obviously Harrison was prepared to contain our rushers tonight. They probably saw the Greenfield Central game tape and, you know, came up with a great game plan to contain Hessling and Larrison. Obviously, you know, Hunter did not throw deep tonight, maybe because, you know, maybe in response to, you know, throwing deep so many times and just being off target last week. But what we have to do now is not panic. We have to go in and regroup. You know, we have to have, you know, a great day in practice tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get a couple of, you know, hopefully we'll get a couple of JV and freshman wins tomorrow. And then, you know, have, you know, a great day in practice tomorrow, and then 4 great days next week, Monday through Thursday. And that brings me to our next game. 1 week from tonight, your Quakers return to action against a team that, when I first, you know, began commentating, was pretty much a gimme win, one of, you know, 2 or 3 gimme wins we would get every year in the Mid-State Conference, but now has become a big thorn in our side. The Mooresville Pioneers, who we beat 5 out of 6 years from 2012 to 2017, only losing in the entry play 2014 season. But then Mike Dillon took over in 2017, and now Mooresville's beaten us the last 4 years, including 63-42 at Mooresville last year. And Mooresville now supports possibly the best quarterback in the state, certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the state history, Nick Patterson. He is a senior. He's a very exciting player, 6'1", about 200 pounds. And 2 years ago, he became, I believe, the first 2020 guy in the state that is 20 touchdowns passing, 20 rushing, and I believe he eclipsed that last year. Now he's a senior. So, certainly he's the player to see on our schedule this year. And, it's going to be Labor Day weekend next week. So what I hope you all will do is get out there on Friday night, support our kids, in what's going to be a great game against the marquee opponent. Mooresville, is an annual contender for the Class 4A State Championship. Like I said, they have a Mr. Football candidate now, a BCS quarterback recruit with, Nick Patterson. And then I hope you all on Saturday morning will get out to Mooresville, our closest road team of the year, only 6 miles away, get out to the freshman JV games. And, you know, by the way, even though Mooresville did beat us 63-42 last year at the varsity game, we did recover and win the JV and freshman games, got a clean sweep the next morning. So, you know, hopefully that momentum will carry over into next week's varsity game. And, you know, it's important to remember not to panic after a bad start. You know, for a point of reference, let's go back to 2014 when we started off with a, well, we had a 2-7 regular season amid a lot of injuries, but then we got hot in the playoffs, got victories over Danville and Northview, and then only lost to Ron Colley, nine-time state champion by 7 in the sectional championships. We really had a very good end to that season after a rough start. So, you know, if we get things going, we figure out, and maybe this loss will end up being the best thing that ever happened to us. Maybe we'll figure out why they stuffed our rushers and figure out how to, you know, stop that from happening again. And also, hopefully, you know, we'll have some great days with Hunter Newell passing with our receivers and developing, you know, a more effective passing offense, which we'll need. We'll need to be good on both rushing and passing to have a shot at Mooresville next week. So don't give up on these kids. Pack them in. Let's get several thousand crazy Quaker fans, you know, to start off Labor Day weekend next week. Let the kids know you still believe in them. You still believe that we can turn this around and make it a banner season and give Coach Woodard the send-off that he so thoroughly deserves, especially that elusive sectional championship. And by the way, Harrison's one of the three, one of our three sectional rivals this year, along with Decatur Central and Lafayette Percussion. Cathedral, thankfully, has moved up to Class 6A, so we don't have to deal with them this year. That does give us a better chance, and certainly it would be very sweet if we ran into Harrison in the playoffs and, you know, turned the tables after this loss tonight. So, still a lot of football to be played this season, so don't give up on these kids. They've had two close losses to good teams. But Coach Woodard wants to go out in style. He's one of the most underrated coaches in the state. He's going to go over to the game. He's going to go over the game tape, as painful as it is, figure out what went wrong and come up with a game plan that's going to help us, you know, the rest of the way starting next week. And even if we lose next week, you know, we still have a lot of winnable games ahead of us. But let's not think about that right now. Let's just, like Rocky Balboa says, you know, one step, one punch, one round at a time. For us, it's, you know, one day of practice, one game at a time. Let's start thinking about Mooresville. If we get the upset win, that's great. But the main thing is to go out knowing that we did our best. You know, if we play our hearts out and lose by 7 and don't make any mistakes in the game, you know, don't give the game to them, that'll still feel good and set us up for a probable win at Perry Meridian the week after that. So, anyway, keep your heads up. There are better days ahead. This team's going to get a lot of wins this year, and hopefully give Coach Woodard the great send-off that he has earned for these last 26 years in the program. So once again, your final score here tonight here at Tippecanoe County, Harrison 22, Plainfield 14, the 14. So once again, your final score here tonight at Tippecanoe County, Harrison 22, Plainfield 14. The Raiders hit their first win of the season and improved to 1-1, while the Quakers dropped to 0-2. Well, this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight as your Plainfield Quakers return to action at home against the Mooresville Pioneers featuring Mr. Football candidate and BCS quarterback recruit Nick Patterson. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Dorn reminding you, There is a difference. Only you.